You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
And you've joined us in a cool season of church life because it's the Christmas season. This is what we do. This is who we are as church, celebrating the man, the message of Jesus. I don't know about you, but Christmas gets me excited because we get to put the church on display, don't we? So if you're here for the first time or you've been coming a long time, it's great to have you here. My name's Lee, and together with Lizandre, my wife, we are the pastors here at church. And look, we're right in the middle of a Christmas series, and the title is this. It's called Now That's What I Call Christmas. And the message today is called Now That's What I Call Good News. Somebody say good news. And across this series, what we've been doing, we've been looking at different Christmas carols and we've been pulling out some of the truth. We've been lining that up with the Bible and trying to bring out the message of some of the songs that we perhaps sing quite often, but maybe don't know the meaning of or take for granted. We'll sing it shortly, but today's message is based on Hark the Herald. Somebody say, Hark. Hark the Herald. Let me tell you a little bit about the carol, the hymn, the song, to give you some context. Hark the Herald was written, catch this, in 1739 by Charles Wesley. It is old, isn't it? An old song. And it used to begin like this. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. It used to begin, Hark, how all the welkin rings. I have no idea what that means. I'm sure you don't either. But I'm glad that later on it was edited and Charles Wesley's friend in 1753 revised the lyrics to what we know as today. It's an old song that we've been singing for hundreds of years, and it was written and inspired by this section of text from the Bible in Luke chapter 2 that we're going to read very quickly, and you can follow ahead on the screens. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, says this, in the same region, there were the shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly before them appeared, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news. Somebody say good news, of great joy, which will be for all the people. Verse 11, for this day in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Then suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude in the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among men with whom he is well pleased. Now that's what I call good news. I want you to picture in your minds with me for a moment a time where you've gotten really good news. Maybe it's been a time you've found out you've got a promotion or a pay rise, or you found out that you're expecting a child. I reckon all of us to some degree can remember quite quickly some really good news. Now, when I think back to some good news that I had in my life, it kind of starts with a little bit of bad news. When I think back, I used to work in a pizza restaurant. When I first moved from Northern Ireland to Chester, I was working in a pizza restaurant called Pizza Express. Any Pizza Express fans out there? Don't worry, I don't get commission, and other pizza restaurants are available. But I was working as a manager covering a shift in the Liverpool Pizza Express, and there was new systems, we were low on staff, and I was kind of thrown into the deep end in a restaurant I wasn't very familiar with, didn't know the layout, didn't know the staff, didn't know the new system, and it was on a night where they were showing some performances at the Everyman Theatre across the road where we were on Hope Street, so it was busy, to say the least. There was a queue out the door, reservations. It was a manic shift, loads going on. And this big group of blokes come in. They were looking for a table last minute. It was about 10 of them. So we squeezed some tables together, made room. But I'm literally running here, there, everywhere, trying to just survive and make the shift work. and all of the pizzas came out, and I thought to myself, I can easily carry 3 pizzas at once. Maybe tonight's the night I try, because we're busy carrying 4 pizzas. How many people know that's a recipe for disaster? 1 pizza in this hand and 3 14-inch Romana American hot pizzas in this hand. So I head on over to the table. I put the first pizza down, great success, give him his pizza. And I watch in slow motion as with this hand, one of the pizzas starts to, in Baywatch style, slow motion, slide off the plate, and it landed, I kid you not, on top of this guy's head. He was wearing a pizza for a hat, and it landed toppings first. A 300-degree pizza coming straight out of the oven landed on this guy's head. He jumps up. He's screaming, ah, you know the shock. Nobody expects to have a pizza land on their head, do they? He jumps up. We get the pizza off his head, you know. His friends are laughing. He's not finding it funny. Needless to say, he's okay, and we totally give them a free meal. But the good news was I didn't lose my job. Ah, very good news. Started with some bad news, but became very good news as I've not lived that moment down since for about the last 10 years. But often when we think of good news, we contrast it, compare it to bad news. In fact, bad news is everywhere in society, way more than good news. If you flick on the news channel even right now, it's not even going to be news. It's just going to be bad news. You turn on the news channels, it's everywhere, because they know that if they can get you mad or sad, it will increase the ratings and it will keep you hooked. In fact, that's the whole game with the news channels, to get you hooked. So they intentionally pour out news that makes you mad or sad. And in fact, in the UK, it's easy when we converse with one another to always start at the lowest common denominator and talk about the bad news. In fact, when you ask somebody how you're doing, not often do people say, I'm doing great, thanks for asking. It's, yeah, I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm all right, it's not so good. We love to go down to the lowest common denominator, don't we? That's just built in. And maybe today you do have some really bad news. Maybe there's disappointment. Maybe you're living with debt. You've got loss, and Christmas brings back those memories, and you're surrounded by bad news. Bad news exists, of course it does, in society. But the danger for us today is if we allow the bad news to take all of our focus, if we allow it to be the soundtrack of our lives, it will completely distort our reality. All we'll begin to see is bad news everywhere, and we won't be able to see the good news that exists everywhere in society. In fact, I want to suggest today that I hear a different sound. I hear a different radio frequency. I hear a different news channel, because the Bible at Christmas in Luke 2, verse 10, talks about, I hear good news that will bring great joy for all the people. So I want to encourage you today, church, you need to start to dial into a different news channel, because there is good news. And this Christmas season isn't a season of bad news, but is a season of good news. Well, what is this good news? You've told me the bad news, let's not focus on it, and there's good news. What is the good news? The good news is this, is that Jesus is for everyone. That is the good news of the Christmas message. Jesus is for everyone. In fact, the start of this carol, Hark the Herald, says, hark. I got you to repeat it earlier. That means listen up, pay attention, dial in. So at the very front end of the carol is this invitation to listen up to some different news. And not just different news, but good news. The lyrics say this, joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. Later on, it declares God and sinners reconciled, the newborn prince of peace. Oh, I love this. Jesus is for everyone. What does that mean? That means Jesus is for the anybodies, the everybodies, the nobodies, the somebodies. It doesn't matter about your background, your upbringing, where you were born, your culture, your creed, your nationality, your race, your status in society. Jesus is for everyone. He's for the employed. He's for the unemployed. He's for the hopeless and the hopeful. He's for the tradie on site on a Monday morning to the office receptionist sitting in the office. Jesus is for everyone. That is the beauty of Christmas. That it doesn't matter how you walked into this room today, doesn't matter where you are in life, how together you think you might have it or not, Jesus is for everyone. And the invitation is that Jesus isn't just for me, but he's for you and he's for us. And that's really good news. Why? Because the Bible describes it like this in Romans 3, verse 23. It says, "For all of us have sinned and fallen short of God." In other words, we have distance from God because of all of the wrong things that we've done. All of us have made mistakes. We've done what the Bible describes as sin. We've done things that don't honor and please God and create distance. We've all messed up. We all know that. And I think we often dwell too much on the things that we've messed up, the regrets that we have. The good news is that God sent his son Jesus to come and pay a price so that we could have a relationship with God, that we wouldn't have to live in shame and our sin and our transgressions and our mess ups anymore, but that through Jesus, we could have this beautiful relationship with God, the Bible says, because Jesus is for everyone. In fact, what I loved about that really cute video with the kids is that it displays that core message. We've got the shepherds on one hand and the wise men on another. The shepherds were some of the first people to come and visit the baby Jesus when he was born. Why is that significant? Because the shepherds represented the lowest in society, the lowest working class, the outcast, the fringes. There's no way in normal or natural terms that a newborn king should be presented to shepherds, but that is the reality of our newborn King Jesus, signifying that Jesus is for everyone. Then on the other side, we've got the wise men, who were the academics, the wealthy, the educated, on the complete other end of the spectrum of society, who also got the invitation to come and see Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is for everyone. Doesn't matter what you've done, how messed up you've got it, the decisions that you've made, Jesus, because he's for everyone, is standing with open arms today, inviting all of us into this beautiful relationship with him, not because of what we've done, but because of what he did for us, that we could have a relationship with God. In fact, the Bible puts it like this in John 3, verses 16 to 17. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him we might be saved." So because of Jesus, we've got an eternity in heaven promised with God if we accept him. But also in John 10:10, Jesus is speaking, he says this, "I have come that they," this is you and I, "might have life and have it to the full." This is how I describe it. When I was 16 years old, I was doing my own thing. I didn't know Jesus. It was my BC life, my before Christ life. And I had this emptiness in my soul. I looked to relationships, I looked to substance, I looked to friendships, I looked to all sorts of different things to fill the gap that I had in my life. And nothing quite did it. My friends, I went to a new school, they invited me to youth group, and I looked in loads of spaces and places, but one night, on the 1st of December, 2010, I got down on my knees as a 16, almost 17-year-old boy, and I said, "Hey, God, if you're there, then help me. I need help because this life is just not making sense. I feel empty and I feel lost. Come into my life and help me." The next day I woke up and I felt like literally I'd put on new skin. It was a crazy experience, but it makes sense because the Bible says that when you accept Jesus into your heart, you're a new creation. I felt it physically, it was cool. And then what really was the miracle was I was happy to go to school for the first time ever. How many parents know that's a miracle? And so it was all those years ago where I accepted Jesus into my life and he completely changed everything.
I understood in that moment that Jesus was for everyone. I describe it like this. I was living my life as if we were watching a really old school TV. Now, without naming and shaming, some of you will know what that is like. You know, one of those black and white TVs where you're, you know, back in the day, you're thankful you've got a picture, the antenna's working, you can see some old school movies, but it's in black and white. You enjoy it because at the time, it's all you knew, all you know. But what happened in my heart was when I gave my life to Jesus, it was like I was no longer watching life through a old school black and white TV, but it was like suddenly a full of color, high definition picture, because now I understood what my purpose was in life, what life was all about. Doesn't mean life is perfect, far from it. But suddenly I had Jesus in my heart and everything began to change. Not because of anything I had done. I was pretty messed up, but because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of what God did. We celebrate this Christmas. Jesus came down heaven to earth, took on human form, died on the cross, but the cross didn't hold him down because on the third day he was raised to life, promising eternity to us and a resurrection to come. It's interesting, isn't it, that the tomb is the only place in the world you go to see what's not there. Go to Israel to see the tomb, you go to see what's not there because Jesus isn't there. He's alive. Every other religion, you go to see a great figure who lived and died. But Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, he promises life to you and I. So today I want to encourage you. I want to ask you, what radio frequency, what news are you going to listen to this Christmas period? Are you going to dial into the bad news of society? Are you going to turn up the good news? It's easy to dwell in the bad, and we all know that it's there and it exists. But I want to encourage you today to turn up the good news, that as you sit at your Christmas dinner table, you hold hands with your family and you give thanks. It's easy to focus on what you don't have. I wish we had this and that and more and wish all of that. Focusing on the good news, you hold hands, you give thanks. You say, Jesus, thank you that we've got a roof over our heads, got food on the table, we've got the company of one another. Got life and life to the full because of you. Does that mean that it's easy or that it's all together? Not at all. But we thank you, God, that you give Jesus for us. I want to challenge us to be people that turn up the good news. And we drown out the bad news of society. And we lift up the atmosphere in the world because of the good news of the gospel.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.